ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We welcome all devotees and guests to our Sunday festival where we are having a series of lectures to celebrate the Janmashtami festival. So last week we heard from Radha Gopinath Prabhu about how Krishna was the greatest social reformer. So today also we have an interesting topic that we are going to discuss now. Now we are going to talk about what subject? We are going to speak about Lord Krishna. Because Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the all-attractive personality. However, when we present Krishna and we tell people about Krishna, people want to know more. But in India, generally people say, oh, we already know about Krishna. How we know? You know, Krishna we know. So to them, what do we tell them? We tell them about how to love Krishna. So today we are going to discuss how from knowing Krishna, we also will be trying to know how to love Krishna. So today's topic will have the following six topics. Today's presentation will have six topics. First, we'll spend some time introducing this concept of love for God. What is exactly this concept? Then we'll discuss about the importance of these kind of classes, importance of getting knowledge about Krishna, about God. And then we'll try to know Krishna. Who is Krishna? And then we'll discuss about how love helps us go beyond knowledge. And then we are going to discuss some dangers, pitfalls in trying to develop love for Krishna. Certain things we should be careful about. And lastly, we'll conclude by taking some practical steps to increase or revive our love for Krishna. There will be some baby steps also. Because this presentation has been made because we have to understand that Vedas, we are all followers of the Vedic culture. Vedas basically deal with three subject matters. What is the first? Sambandha. Sambandha means our relationship with God. And second subject matter is called Abhidheya. Abhidheya means how we can revive that relationship with God, the process of reviving that relationship. And then we have Prayojan. Prayojan means attaining the pure love for Krishna. So attaining pure love is Prayojan or Krishna Prem. So therefore, this presentation assumes significance. So we begin today's discussion. First, we'll introduce this concept. So for this, we have to understand that mankind is suffering from one of the greatest mysteries mankind has been trying to solve. And what is that? One of the biggest mysteries man has never been able to solve is how to be happy. Happiness is one of the biggest, most elusive concepts and phenomenon in the modern society also. And for many, many generations, for many millenniums, this has been happening. Nobody knows how exactly to be happy. And nowadays, people have some understanding of happiness, but this happiness is basically referring to peace. Peace means when we are suffering and we get some relief from that suffering, that is called peace. And nowadays, we are calling that as happiness. So, like for example, if you are on the, if this is zero, this is minus axis and this is plus axis, positive axis. So minus axis, this is all suffering going on. So when we remove our suffering and come to the zero, no suffering stage, we feel we are happy. Actually, happiness is something beyond relief, beyond peace, positive. And that can be experienced when there is the emotion of love. So what people call as happiness nowadays is simply when they feel some relief, then they call, oh, I am happy. Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told this to Sanatana Goswami. Kabu swarga uthai kabu naraka dubai, dandya jane raja jena nadite chubai. So the king, Raja, what does he do to the prisoner? he puts him underwater as a punishment. And when he's suffocated, about to die, he's picked up. And 1 second he breathes, and then again he's put in. So in that 1 second when he's outside and he's breathing, that time he feels, I'm happy, because right now I'm not inside the water. So similarly, our happiness is when we are suffering and suddenly we get some relief. Oh, then we say, Om Shanti, peace. You know? So that Shanti, that is peace. But beyond Shanti, there is Prem, there is love. And that is what we have to explore. And our Hare Krishna movement is offering this love. So maybe the king's example is a little outdated for us Bombay people. So for Bombay people, we have a more contemporary example, as you can see on the screen. So, you know, what happens inside a local train? It's so crowded and the person is standing and it's choked up and you are just smelling each other's armpits and you just have no place. And that fourth person is sitting and your eye is on that fourth person. Kab uthega? And you are miserable, you are suffering. And suddenly that fourth person who has just minimum space so that he can just somehow park his bottom, he's just sitting and suddenly he gets up. What happens when he gets up? Immediately you sit down. And what do you feel? Happy. I'm happy. So what we are experiencing is relief from suffering. Can that be called as happiness? Actually, Radhana Swami Maharaj, he just traveled once or twice in the local trains, but he's such a keen observer. If you read Journey Home, you'll see how sharp his observation is. So one day he was analyzing local trains of Bombay in one lecture. He said, people enter the local train as if there is some diamond inside. And then they get out of the local train as if there was some snake inside. they get so desperate to get out. So the whole world wants this. Whole world wants, actually they want love. But they don't know what it is, how to get it. So they are looking for some relief from suffering. And at best, so they are aspiring for love, but what they get at best is some relief, some peace. Imagine a husband and wife. And you ask them, how is your relationship? And they say, our relationship is peaceful. What does that mean? That means there is no quarreling going on. Actually, the relationship will be blissful only when there is love. Simply, no fighting doesn't mean that's an ideal relationship. That is a basic. Like if you say India and Pakistan, right now the condition is peaceful. That means they're not fighting war. So we should understand that there is something more than what we are now considering as happiness in this world. You see, intuitively, I think all of us will agree that peace is not the best. You know, there is something, love is greater. You ask any college boy or college girl, they may be very peaceful. They may be studying, no problems. And they may be seeing other friends who have boyfriends and girlfriends and they may see them as miserable. But still, these college boys and girls would prefer to have a relationship or have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Because intuitively they know that love gives a much richer experience than simply peace. But unfortunately, nowadays nobody knows what is love. We think love in terms of a boy-girl relationship. There is something more to love. For this man was once praying to God. He said, my dear God, I don't get sleep at night. I don't feel hungry. I don't feel thirsty. I am restless. Is this a symptom of love? God said, actually, I don't know. Because 100 years back, this would have been a symptom of love. But nowadays, this symptom only shows that you are some frustrated night shift worker in some call center. That's all. So these symptoms, what people consider of love is basically not existing. And actual that love can be experienced when it is connected to the most attractive or the most wonderful personality, that is God. So when a man asks, or when a man or a woman looks for real happiness, they should be looking for love, and that love should be in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because Srila Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Devotion that God is that one switch that brightens all, that brightens everything. So our goal is to get love for God. Then all that peace, happiness, it's all an insignificant byproduct. Happiness becomes a byproduct. If you ask a 12th standard student, what is your goal in 12th standard final exams? He says, I want to get into IIT. Or you ask another boy, he says, my goal is I want to get into All India Institute of Medical Science. And third fellow says, my goal is I want to get 35%. Of the three, who is guaranteed to get, or who may get only 35%? What about the third person? He may or he may not get 35%, right? But who is guaranteed to get 35%? The first two. Why? Because they are aiming for something much higher. So if you aim for sky, you may touch the roof. So if you aim for love for God, then all this peace and happiness is insignificant. So therefore, this is the introduction that we discussed, the first topic for today, about we discussed about what exactly is happiness. Happiness is experienced when there is love for God. Now somebody may say, okay, this is a very interesting subject. We should love God. Okay. Then let us love God. Give me some meditation technique or some chanting. I'll just love God. And if you tell them about Krishna, they'll say, yeah, I love Krishna. Krishna, during book distribution, people have told me, Krishna to amare hi hain. Krishna to amare laadle hain, some people say. So that is very vague understanding about God and very sentimental understanding about love for God. So therefore, it's very important that we need to discuss this very important topic about why we need to have knowledge about God. Why we need to have knowledge, real knowledge. People sometimes challenge us. You are Hare Krishna people. Why do you have this Gita course, 6 days, 2 hours every day, lecture? Why lecture? Do something practical. You know, they demand. But actually, these kind of discussions are very important. So we'll discuss the importance of knowledge now. Now, if you see in a hospital bed, there are two beds. And on both beds, there are patients screaming in pain. Extreme pain. Both of them are looking similar to you. Both of them are screaming in pain. But the difference is, the first patient on the first bed, which is closer to your screen, this patient is screaming, but his disease has been diagnosed. Doctors know, he knows what is his disease, and the treatment has started. The second bed, as a patient who is also screaming, but his disease has not been diagnosed, all experiments are going on. So of the two, who is in a better condition? Which patient is in a better condition? Why? Because at least he knows what is his problem, what is his disease. It has been diagnosed. Knowledge helps. Isn't it? If somebody has typhoid and he knows he has typhoid and he knows what medicines to take, isn't he better off than somebody who doesn't know what is his disease? Similarly, you may sometimes see Hare Krishna devotees are also suffering, and you may say materialistic people are also suffering. But devotees are in a better condition because devotees know why they are suffering. They know what is the solution. They have started the treatment. Therefore, don't underestimate this process of acquiring spiritual knowledge. Somebody knows he has typhoid and he started the medicine, he is in a good condition. Somebody doesn't know, he is in a bad condition. But imagine somebody's disease has been wrongly diagnosed. What will happen? This is a modern society. Modern society, nobody knows how to get happiness. What is real happiness? What is the real happiness we discussed already? Love for God. Love of God. So nobody knows that. So now they are desperately trying to find out why they are suffering, why they are not happy. Instead of knowing the cause of the disease, instead of diagnosing properly, what they are doing? They are diagnosing wrongly. And they are thinking, we have to enjoy more sense gratification. So what happens? Because of the wrong diagnosis? What happens if a person who has typhoid and instead of being diagnosed properly, he has been wrongly diagnosed? And he is given, if somebody has typhoid and the doctor says, Are, actually your disease is you are weak. You should eat a lot of puri, pakoda, sweets. And he's given a lot of these fried items, deep fried items. What will happen to him? He'll fall more sick. He may die. And then he says he takes more such food, prohibited food. Similarly, nowadays in modern society, people have wrongly diagnosed the cause of suffering and the solution and the way to get happiness. So what people are suggesting? That we should advance materially, we should have more sense gratification, we should enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. But what is happening as a result of this enjoyment? Are they actually happy? People are more worse off. For example, this laptop, I hope it doesn't get spoiled. But if it gets spoiled, and I have no idea about laptop. So I start repairing it on my own. I have no knowledge. I'm in ignorance. But I want solution. I want this laptop to become all right. So what I do? I open up the whole thing. And what will happen at the end, after 2 hours of my repairing? The laptop will be irreparable. It will be worse off than, it will be worse off or better off than the first condition? Worse. If you are somebody who doesn't know cooking and you enter the kitchen, clean kitchen, you enter, you say, I'm going to cook a big feast. After 2 hours, what will be the state of the kitchen? It will be worse off than before. Or let's say your water, your sink gets spoiled and you have no knowledge about plumbing and you try to repair it. So in all these cases, when there is ignorance and we try to solve a problem without having proper knowledge, then what happens? We create a bigger problem than the original problem. So material advancement may solve some problem, but it only gives temporary relief, no permanent solution. In fact, it gives further rise to more problems. Gaurang Prabhu, when I used to come new, I used to hear this story, very striking story. If there was one sadhu with a big beard, and he was saying, Shanti, Shanti, always peace. He was sitting under a tree and saying, Ahimsa. And one day, when sitting under the tree, one ant came on his beard. So he said, Arey, non-violence, I have to put the ant back to the tree. So the disciple said, Arey, ekhi to ant hai, chhod do. Rahega, kya karega? Nahi, nahi, nahi. Ahimsa, we have to put the ant back to the tree. So he went to put the ant back. What happened? There were many ants on the tree. All of them jumped on his beard and face. For them to save himself, he ran and jumped into a pond. And then he got relieved. But what happened in the process of trying to save one ant? He killed all the ants, many ants. So this is the situation in modern society. We try to solve one problem, but in ignorance of how to get happiness, we try to do something and we'll end up with more problems. And the proof of how modern society is not actually happy, if these statistics, they are shocking. Washington-based World Watch Institute in the year in 1999, they mentioned how 20th century is the most violent period known in human history, because 3 times more people died in the wars of 20th century than in the entire history of warfare between AD 1 and 1899. Isn't this a shocking statistics? So logically if you see what is happening, 20th century has witnessed maximum advancement. 100 years back, people didn't know what is washing machine, computer. In fact, the first fan, if I saw a Times of India advertisement, you know, they had sent vintage 1903 or 1904. Times of India carried an advertisement of Taj Mahal Hotel. Taj Mahal Hotel is advertising. Stay in our hotel, and they had a drawing of a fan. We have fan, and you know, they had made a fan, and that was the way they were attracting people to stay in the hotel. We have fan. Now fan is a necessity nowadays. So 100 years, so much advancement has taken place. So logically, we should be more happy. But we can see by the statistics that people are more miserable. That means simply, we are trying to solve problems in ignorance of God, ignorance of our relationship with God. Therefore, we are creating more problems, bigger problems. There is more suffering and more anxiety. Therefore, what is that knowledge that we need to have? What is that knowledge we need to know? And that is given in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is a manual, scriptures, and Bhagavad Gita says our constitutional position is we are servant of God. This is the secret of love and happiness. Jivera swarup hoy Krishnera nitya das. Krishna says in the Gita, Mameva amsho jiva loke, all the living entities are my parts and parcels. But manah sastani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. They are struggling with their mind and senses because of not understanding this constitutional position. And Bhagavad Gita says this. See, Bhagavad Gita is a manual. God is not some stupid person. God has created this world. He has also given manual. Any electronic product you buy, every company, they are intelligent. With every product, they give a manual. You think God is most intelligent. So if He has created human beings, He has created this world, He will not give us a manual. He has given us Bhagavad Gita and He explains how we are like, just like water is by definition liquid. If the water is in the ice form, it is artificial. So water's constitutional position is liquid. Salt is salty. And chilies, they are hot. You won't find chilies to be very sweet. So the constitutional position of water is liquid. Similarly, the constitutional position, our actual position is we are servant. And actually people don't like this word, but that's a fact. And real happiness is in service. Whenever we serve, we experience happiness. So Bhagavad Gita is very clear. Srila Prabhupada would give the example of the finger. He would say, if the finger is disconnected from the body, it has no value. But if the finger is connected to the body, it has value. Similarly, if we are disconnected from service to God, we have no value. But if you are connected to God, then that is actual happiness. Srila Prabhupada would give this example many times. For example, if this man, whom you are going to see on the screen now, he has beautiful hair, apparently. Maybe he is beautiful. And he may be proud of his beautiful hair. But if that hair is cut off and put on the ground, is it attractive anymore? It's repulsive. Similarly, when we are connected to God, there is happiness. There is lasting fulfillment. But when we are disconnected from God, then there is no value to our existence. So therefore, this connection to God is through service. It's through loving service. And therefore, we have to aspire, based on this knowledge that we are servants of God, we have to aspire to develop love for God. And why we are suffering in this world? Because we have forgotten this position and come to the material world, and we are trying to be the enjoyers in this material world. We are trying to take the position. Instead of enjoying with Krishna, we are trying to enjoy like Krishna. And therefore, because we are disconnected, we lose our independence. And in this world, we are conditioned. We want to enjoy, but we are feeling choked up, suffocated. We want azadi, we want freedom, but we don't get freedom. We are bound like a prisoner. Just like a prisoner, he may have freedom within the walls. But what is his real freedom? When he gets out of the jail. For this material world is not the ideal place. We have to get out of this material world, and that is by re-establishing in our relationship with God as the servant of God. For example, if you have seen a 1,000 rupee note, what do you see in a 1,000 rupee note when you see? First, 1,000, 1,000 rupee. Something else also you see? Gandhiji's photo. So you think, aray, do you ever think, aray, Gandhi ka photo hai? Gandhi kaun hai? What is his contribution? Do we analyze or do we ask? When we see 1,000 rupee note, what is our consciousness? What I will get from this? Gandhi, we don't care. Generally, that is our attitude. Isn't it? If anybody gives 1,000 rupees, do you say, oh, Mahatma Gandhi is there. Oh, Mahatma Gandhi. We don't say like that. We just interested in the purchasing power, the purchasing capacity of that 1,000 rupees. But 1,000 rupees has a stamp of Mahatma Gandhi. But we don't care. Actually, this is symbolic. Actually, if you see in creation, everything in this creation, everything in this material world has a stamp of Krishna, God. Everywhere there is God. These rains, for example, who with scientists can create these rains? How are we getting all the sunshine, all these wonderful rains, seasons, planetary movements, our health? Everything is given by God. In everything there is stamp of God. But what we see, whenever we see anything, how do we see it? Merko kya milega? How can I enjoy? How can I be the enjoyer? That is our focus. And because of that, we are perpetually dissatisfied because of the exploitative tendency. And our situation is like that of this young girl who tells her mother, 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 I want to also cook like you. And the mother says, no, beta, you can't cook because you're too small. It's dangerous. No, I want to cook. So the mother gives her a toy kit. And the child becomes very happy. I have my own toy kit. I'm going to cook nice food. So she plays for 3 hours cooking and having all the games. But when she's hungry, what does she do? She goes to her mother and says, mother, mother, I'm hungry. Mother says, I've given you a whole kitchen. You made, no? You eat? No, actually, I want real food. She says, no, I've given you the whole kitchen. You are cooking for 3 hours. You are thinking you are the great cook. Eat that feast. No, I want real food. Similarly, when we have a desire to enjoy separately from God, God has given us this material world, which is like a kitchen kit. We try to enjoy, but for real satisfaction of the hunger of happiness, which is eluding us, we have to go back to our mother and father, Krishna. Only God can give us this real happiness. If you in your dream, in your sleep, if you are very thirsty, how much of our water you drink in the dream, it's not going to be quenched. We have to wake up and quench our thirst with real water. Similarly, we can't just artificially try to be happy in this world by exploiting the resources of this world. We have to seek the real pleasure of service to God. Our position is like that of this fish, you see. A fish, if he's taken out of the water and is given a beautiful iPod or a beautiful girlfriend or a laptop computer or a mobile phone or is given the premiere tickets of some movie, is he going to be happy? The fish doesn't want the latest designer outfits. He wants to be back in water. Similarly, the living entity is like a fish out of water. We are in this material world trying to enjoy but always frustrated. Our real happiness lies when we are re-established in our relationship of love with God. Therefore, this is the important topic we discussed today about what is the importance of knowledge. So we discussed introduction, and now we are going to discuss about who is this God. So first topic we discussed was how love is a more satisfying emotion than simply peace and happiness, so-called happiness. The second topic we discussed was about how we need to have knowledge about God. We need to know that we are suffering in this world because we are trying to enjoy separately from God. And only when we reconnect to God, we can be really happy. So now the question arises, okay, I have understood that love is the highest emotion. I have understood that only when I have loving relationship with God, I can be really happy. That also I have understood. But my question is, who is God? Isn't it? So therefore, we are not trying to know Krishna or try to know God personally. Now, God is defined in the scriptures that he is full of 6 opulences. If anyone fulfills all the 6 criteria, he can be called God. So if somebody claims to be God, we should tell him, does he have these 6 opulences? Not one of the 6. How many? All the 6. And in how much quantity each? Unlimited. All the 6 simultaneously and unlimited. Such a person is God. And because Krishna fulfills these 6 opulences: wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge and renunciation. Aishwarya samagrasya virasya yashasasya cha gyana vairagyascheva shad idi bhagalakshanam. These are the 6 opulences of God. And because Krishna fulfills all the 6 criteria, he is called as God. So it should be very clear that we accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord with whom we want to have a loving relationship, not because I like Krishna. No, because of the scriptures which say that God should have these 6 opulences and Krishna meets this criteria. Some people say, I like Krishna because, you know, Krishna is black and I also like black color. Not like that. Or somebody says, oh, Krishna plays flute, so I like Krishna because flute is my favorite instrument also. Not that kind of. Or Krishna likes butter and I also like butter. Like Amul butter, they had an ad once. Krishna is stealing butter and is telling Mother Yashoda that I'm stealing because they're not giving me Amul butter. So, it's not like that. It's not this kind of reasoning we are using to say that Krishna is God. You know? Or some may say, oh, Krishna was the flirt, so you know I also like to flirt, so Krishna is my favorite God. Or Krishna is a thief. So, no, it's not sentimental. Please understand. We are discussing very logically. The first we discussed was how we need to have love as an experience to be happy. And secondly, we discussed how love has to be connected to God. And now we are discussing how God actually is Krishna, because he has all the six opulences in unlimited quantity. The first opulence is wealth. Krishna is the husband of goddess of fortune. Lakshmi sahasra shata sambrama sevyamanam govinda madhi purusham tamaham bhajami. Krishna is served by the goddess of fortune. In this material world, somebody may be very rich, but he is not served by the goddess of fortune. When Dhruv Maharaj was asking his mother that I'm going to the forest, his mother said, go. She gave her blessings and she chanted a very beautiful verse. Nanyam tato padma palasha lochanad dukha chidam te mrigayami kanchana yo mrigyate hasta grihita padmaya shriye tare ranga vimrigya manaya. Dhruv Maharaj's mother is telling her son Dhruva, there is no one who can mitigate your suffering and distress except Krishna. Because dukkha chidamte mrigayami kanchana, because yo mrigyate hasta grihita padmaya, Lakshmi ji with a lotus flower in her hand is running in the forest of Vrindavan searching for Krishna. Shriye tare ranga vimrigya manaya, and the whole world is running after Lakshmi ji and she is running after Krishna. So this is the Supreme Lord. He says in the 10th chapter of Gita, Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo, everything is coming from me. So Krishna is the richest, he has unlimited wealth. This is according to Bhagavad Gita 10.8. Scriptural evidence is also there. And he has unlimited wealth. So he is God, not the other man you are seeing on the screen. Also, Krishna has unlimited strength because he lifted Govardhan. So somebody in this world may have a lot of strength. What is a competitor to Krishna? Krishna with the smallest finger of his left hand lifted Govardhan for 7 days and 7 nights. In material world, in Olympics they show the strongest man is he who can lift some. You have seen how they lift? I have seen. They are struggling with the air coming out from all the holes of their body and they are somehow. And how long they keep it? Not even, and then throw it down. And then they are called as the most powerful man. This is the idea of strength we have. What is Krishna's strength? Easily lifted. Not only strength, Krishna is all famous. The most famous people in this world are unknown after some years. Who is this? Be honest. How many of you don't know who this person is? Just be honest. So many people don't know who this person is. Thank you. Please keep your hands down. Thank you for your honesty. I was hoping, you know, many people raise their hands. I'm so grateful. Because this man was the most popular person on planet Earth just 30 years ago. Today nobody cares to know who he is. He's John F. Kennedy, the president of America, and an airport has been named after him. And today nobody cares. Today people know this man. But after 40 years, who will know him? So the most famous people are forgotten after some years. But Krishna is the most famous because he is known all over the three worlds. He is known even in the upper planetary systems. He is known in all the spiritual worlds. He is known in all the 1/4 of the material world. And he is the only one who is famous as the butter thief. You know any person who is famous for being a thief? Actually, it is explained, Vraje prasiddham navanita choram gopanganam chadukula choram aneka janmarjita papa choram chora graganyam purusham namami. Krishna is the most famous chore. Vraje prasiddham, he has become popular because of being a thief in Vrindavan. Vraje prasiddham navanita choram. What does he steal in Vrindavan? He steals butter. Gopanganam cha dukula choram. He steals all the distress of his friends and his devotees. Aneka janmarjita papa choram. He steals all our sinful reactions of many, many lifetimes. Chora graganyam purusham namami. He's the best chore number one. You know? is the best thief. And the next verse is even more beautiful. Shri Radhikaya Hridayasya Choram Navambuda Shamalakanta Choram Padashritanam Cha Samasta Choram Chora Graganyam Purusham Namami. Shri Radhika's Hridayasya Choram. He steals the heart of Srimati Radharani. Navambuda Shamalakanta Choram. He steals the black color of the clouds. Padashritanam Cha Samasta Choram. Whoever takes shelter of his lotus feet, he steals all inauspiciousness from their lives. Chaura graganyam purusham namami. So this is actually Chorashtakam. There are 8 verses glorifying the greatest thief. There's a bhajan like that. Chorashtakam, composed by Bila Mangal Thakur. Like this, there are 6 more verses. Each one of them is more beautiful than the other. Exquisite poetry. It's amazing. So you can imagine how Krishna is so famous for stealing butter. And stealing so many things. You can imagine. We showed the photograph of one gentleman sometime back. Mr. Ambani. Imagine. Will this ever happen? Mr. Ambani is being glorified in the annual general meeting. And annual general body meeting. Or the shareholders meeting. And the comparer says, Mr. Ambani ji is very nice. When he was a small boy in the school, he used to steal pens and pencils. And will any big man of this world be glorified for being a thief in his childhood? You know anybody like that? But Krishna is glorified. In fact, there are people who have become very famous. Krishna is famous as a thief. But there are people who have become famous by singing bhajans about Krishna stealing butter. You know, Maya Mori, Maini, Makhan Ka. This is a very famous bhajan. So somebody is glorifying Krishna being a thief. He has become famous. This is amazing. Now somebody may say, but you said in the first point that Krishna is the wealthiest person. Now you are saying he steals also. If he is wealthiest, why is he stealing? So we should understand, now we are entering a different dimension. What we discussed so far was how Krishna is great. Now we are discussing that Krishna is not only great, he is also sweet. God is great. All religions talk about this. But Krishna consciousness also says God is great, but adds another element. God is great and sweet. For this is Krishna's Bhakta Vatsal. He loves his devotees. He is the darling of his devotees and he also loves his devotees so much that he is willing to have contradictory behavior in himself. Therefore, he steals to give them pleasure. So, this is one aspect. Krishna is famous. What are the first three? What are the first we discussed? Wealth, strength, famous. And Krishna also has unlimited beauty. And what are the beauty of this world? Ravaged by time. Who is this lady? How many of you don't know who this lady is? Wow. Great. I'm so happy. Thank you. She was the heartthrob of millions of people some years back. Marilyn Monroe. Where is she now? Actually, Bhagavatam describes, Tase tasya nano nunam nayam vedor vikramam kalya manopi balino vayoriva ghanavali. That all great people of this world, they are vanquished, they are thrown away with utter contempt by Kalya Manopi Balino, by Kala, by time. Vayur Iva Ghanavali, just like wind throws away a mass of clouds. You see, wind comes and clouds go away. Similarly, time comes and throws away all famous people. We all have heard of Meena Kumari, one of the most famous actresses of the 60s. One day she was shooting at Chambal Ghats, and when the shooting was going on in the evening, the dacoit king of that area, he landed up at her tent, and he and his men surrounded the tent, and she was all alone, and he went close to her, and she got scared. She thought he may molest her, he may do something, and right in front of her, she was right in front of him, he took out his dagger, chaku, and looked at her on the face, and to her great shock, he gave the chaku in her hand. And then he put his sleeves like this and he said, autograph please. So she was so attractive, she was so beautiful that this dacoit king was her fan. And he wanted her autograph in blood. So beautiful, so famous. And what happened after 12, 13 years? She died a miserable, lonely death here at Teen Batti. If you take 103 from here, you'll go. Tirunelveli, there is a hospital, there is a small nursing home called Elizabeth Nursing Home. You can go there. She died a lonely death after having gone through 5 broken marriages. She had liver disorder. She had become fat, ugly. And she died a lonely, miserable death with no one at her bedside. This is the beauty of this world. But Krishna is called as Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajam. He is more beautiful than Cupid. Millions of Cupids don't stand in front of him. That's why he's called as Madan Mohan. He charms the heart of even Cupid. Cupid breaks his bow in frustration when he sees Krishna's beauty. So this is the fourth quality of Krishna. And Krishna also has unlimited knowledge. Who is this lady? Shakuntala Devi. Why is she famous? Very intelligent. But Krishna's words of wisdom are pondered over even now, 5,000 years later. Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita. Just one day he spoke for 1.5 hours, 5,000 years ago. And till today people spend their whole life sometimes trying to understand one verse of Gita. And what Krishna spoke in just 1 hour. It's not that Krishna the previous night was, you know, rehearsing. Arre, kal Gita bolna hai. He was not learning the shlokas, you know, with this. No, he spoke. The Supreme Lord. And the last opulence is renunciation. Some renounced people are very famous in this world. But who can compare with the renunciation of Krishna? Because he became the driver for his devotee. Will Mr. Ratan Tata become the driver of his driver? No. And how does a driver act in the battlefield? Arjuna was behind Krishna, and because of the sound, he couldn't communicate to Krishna many times while shooting arrows. He would communicate by kicking Krishna, sometimes on the right side if he had to go on the right, and he would sometimes kick him on the left side if he had to go on the left side. And Krishna was taking the kicks of his devotee. This is the way he was acting as a chariot driver, as a chauffeur. You can try that. If you're going in the taxi, can you tell the taxi wala, thoda right mein jao? Can you slap him like that? What will happen if you slap the driver? But Krishna was being kicked. So we understand that Krishna is highly renounced. He gave up the whole kingdom after killing Kamsa. After killing Kamsa, he gave the kingdom to Ugrasen. He was not the ruler. So Krishna is the most renounced. Basically, he has all the 6 opulences in unlimited quality. Please ask yourself, analyze any human being of this material world. Does he have all the 6? Nobody has all the 6. If they have all the 6 also, it won't be an unlimited quantity. First of all, there is nobody with all the 6. Some people may have 1 or 2. Isn't it? Albert Einstein was the most intelligent man during his time. So the most beautiful lady on planet Earth approached him and said, "Why don't we get married? Because you are the most intelligent, I am the most beautiful. So our child will have your intelligence and my beauty. Kya combination hoga?" So he was intelligent. He said, because he was really intelligent, he said, "No, no, no. What if we get married and have a child? What if the child has your intelligence and my beauty? What we'll do, you know? Pura ulta ho jayega." So you can't have the best in this world. Nobody can have all the 6 in unlimited quantity. So therefore, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. So we have discussed so far 3 topics. We have discussed how love is the most richest and most satisfying emotion. And then we discussed how we can experience this love only when it is connected to God. And we are right now not happy because we are trying to be enjoying separately from God. So when we connect to God, we'll be happy. That was the second topic. And third, we discussed who is this God. And that God is Krishna, because he has all the 6 opulences in full. Now we come to a very important topic. About with all this knowledge, we have all this knowledge, fine. Now we have to go beyond this knowledge. Now we are entering a higher level, and that is the level of love, which is beyond knowledge. in this material world, there are many people with a lot of knowledge. There are PhD scholars in Sanskrit and in the works of the Goswamis, but they are not devotees. They have deep study of all the scriptures. They will know Bhagavad Gita by heart. Left, right, center, they can quote. One man told Srila Prabhupada that I can speak Bhagavad Gita in 1 hour without seeing the book. I have memorized it. I can speak in 1 hour. Prabhupada said, can you? You can speak Bhagavad Gita in 1 hour. Can you live the Bhagavad Gita for 1 minute? A lot of difference. So somebody may have a lot of knowledge, but with all this knowledge, still a person can be dissatisfied. Because scholarship is not going to give us happiness. Knowing about Krishna, but not practicing devotional service is like, what is this? It's a bottle of honey. So these great scholars, without love of Krishna, they are licking the bottle of honey from outside. If somebody says, I'm tasting honey, but what is his taste? He's simply licking the bottle of honey. Is he really tasting honey? No. So when we have only knowledge, when we are learning verses after verses, and we are having all the numbers, we know which verse is what, and we can quote so many evidences. But if there is no love in the heart, it's useless. And Srila Prabhupada, he has told us a very important statement in Chaitanya Charitamrita. One cannot understand Krishna simply by reading Vedic literature. Although all Vedic literature is meant for understanding Krishna, one cannot understand Krishna without being a lover of Krishna. There is one lecture of Srila Prabhupada I strongly recommend all of you to hear. 1971, Los Angeles. This is just a 14 minutes lecture. Short lecture. And Prabhupada speaks about that South Indian Brahmin and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's story. All of you know. The South Indian Brahmin was reading Bhagavad Gita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, why are you reading? You are illiterate. He said, what to do? My guru has told me to read, so I am reading. You are illiterate. You can't read and you are still reading and you are crying. He said, I'm crying because I'm seeing... Prabhupada is talking all this. Prabhupada's words. Prabhupada is saying, I'm crying because Krishna is becoming chariot driver of his devotee. So I'm just thinking how nice my Krishna is. How kind my Krishna is. So Prabhupada is glorifying the mood of this Brahmin, South Indian Brahmin, and says, then Prabhupada said, this is wanted. 3 times Prabhupada says, this is wanted. This is wanted. We have to develop this feeling of love like this man who had love for Krishna. So when we are studying, Prabhupada repeatedly says, he quotes this very famous verse, Naradito yadi harim tapasa tata kim, Naradito yadi hari tapasa tata kim. That if you have developed love for Krishna, what is the use of all your knowledge? And if you have not developed love for Krishna, then what is the use of all your knowledge? So ultimately, yasmin vigyate sarvam evam vigyatam bhavati. If you develop love for Krishna, then everything is in place. So then in that same lecture, Prabhupada says, I know many of you want to serve me and you are thinking how to please me. Prabhupada says, you cannot please me by all your knowledge and wealth. If you don't think if you give me money, I will be pleased. Prabhupada is saying in that lecture, if you love me, I will be naturally pleased. And later in another conversation, Prabhupada has asked, Prabhupada, what will please you the most? There were different devotees sitting. Some book distributors were thinking, Prabhupada will say, book distribution will please me. Some DT room pujaris were thinking, if Prabhupada will say, DT worship will please me. When Prabhupada was asked, what will please you the most? Prabhupada said, if you love Krishna. If you love Krishna, I will be most pleased. So we should love, I have a desire to love Krishna. And unfortunately in this world, people approach God with different motivations. They don't approach God with love. They approach with fear. There are religions which tell people that if you don't follow our God, you will burn in hell. And there are other religions which say, if you follow our God, you will get to enjoy in heaven. For that is, motivation is fear and sometimes reward. Isn't this? Like a child may serve the father out of fear. Or the child may serve the father because he may get some chocolate, some reward. But a higher worship or higher service of God is out of a sense of duty. Isn't it? So child may serve the God out of a sense of duty also. But there is one more way of serving God out of a sense of love. Save pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radokshaje ahetukiya pratihata ayatma su prasidati. That love which is unconditional and uninterrupted, that is the highest service. So you tell me, honestly, there are four ways of approaching God or four ways of having a relationship with God: out of fear, reward, duty and love. A child may serve the God, serve his father out of fear, duty, reward, duty or love. Now, you please think, honestly, out of these four, let's say there are four children, each serving his father out of these four motivations. Which of these children will have the most intimate relationship with the father? One who is serving out of love. So love is the, love, serving God out of love, unfortunately most religious people don't talk. They talk about God as how God can fulfill our need. This is a unique aspect of Krishna consciousness which Srila Prabhupada has so mercifully given, that we don't want anything from Krishna. We want to render service to Krishna and we want to love Krishna. Once one king was giving charity and he said, I'm going to give charity to anybody. One gift anybody can ask. So one man said to the king, the king was giving charity, for the man said, oh my dear king, I don't have a job. So the king said, isko mantri banao. So one man said, oh king, I don't have money. Okay, give him some money. Oh king, I don't have a house. Okay, usko ghar bana ke de do. Another man came and said, oh king, my house is very far from the city. There is no road. Okay, road bana ke do. One man said, oh king, I'm not married yet. Okay, usko achha patni de do. So like that, the king was fulfilling all desires. So another man came and the king said, what do you want? He said, I want nothing. I just want your friendship. The king said, come on, be practical. No, I want to be friends with you. Okay, but you ask for something. I don't want anything from you. Just want to be your friend. Everybody thought what a fool he is. And the king said, okay, we shake hands, we are friends. And the man went away. And after some days, the king got a letter. And the minister read. He said, my dear king, your friend, that man who came that day, he is inviting you to his house for 2 days. Because you are his friend, you have to go to his house. The king said, okay, let us go. The minister said, but how will you go? His house is in the remote village, there is no road to go there. Arey, make a nice road, how can the king go to such a place? Then the minister said, but my dear king, he is unemployed, doesn't have a job. Arey, how can a king's friend not have a job? Make him minister, give him your post. So the minister said, arey, but he's not married. Okay, get him a nice wife. He doesn't have, like that, you know, all the things this friend got. Why? He didn't ask for anything. He simply wanted to have friendship. So when we desire to love God, then Krishna gives whatever we need. But of course, this should not be our motivation. That if I serve God, I'll get all this. Then that is not pure devotional service. We'll not get anything. But we have been raised from, I don't know how many of us from childhood we have been told, unless you are devotees' children. I'm sure most of us have not been told since childhood that, you know, when you go to temple, what are we told when you go to temple? Ask. Ring the bell and ask. The ringing the bell is very important activity. In the movies also they show, you know, the hero is about to die in the hospital and the heroine comes running to the temple. It's raining and hair is scattered and all the bells start ringing. Dung, 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 dung. You've seen all the bells and she's intensely praying and the hero is about to die. And suddenly after her intense prayers and after a lot of clanging of bells, and finally he opens his eyes and suddenly the bells stop ringing, you know. Matlab, mission accomplished. We were begging. So that is the idea of God. That's why we don't have bells here in our temple. When I go to South, I see in many temples, you know, in Durga temples, they play this tape. Vara Kodi, Chamundi. Chamundi is Durga's name. Vara Kodi. Kodi means give. Vara means blessing. Vara Kodi, Chamundi, Vara Kodi. And it is such shout. That song is literally, this singer is shouting. It's so passionate, you know. Varakodi, Varakodi, give me blessing, demanding. Devotees don't have this kind of attitude. When we approach Krishna, we don't say like this. We want to give service to Krishna. We want to render. Devotional service is selfless. We want to give our service to Krishna. We don't want to take from Krishna. What is this Hare Krishna chanting we do? We want to serve Krishna. And when we do that, what do we experience? We experience a special sweetness which is called as rasa. Now this is the concept I want to introduce. Just like there is a mango. Why are we attracted to a mango? Because of the color of the mango? Because of the way it is formed? Because of the fragrance? Because of the rasa taste? So every relationship in this world, every activity in this world has ras. So we may be attracted to some sports, we may be attracted to movies. Why are we attracted? Because there is some rasa in it which pulls us. Just like my mango is kept here, I may be attracted to that mango because that mango has rasa which pulls me towards that mango. Similarly, we are attracted to some activities, some movies, some songs, because it gives us some pleasure, some rasa. But unfortunately, in this material world, all relationships, all activities have temporary rasa. They are pleasing in the beginning, but after some time, they become repulsive, like a bubble gum. When you chew the bubble gum, it's very, very tasty initially. After some time, it becomes boring, tasteless. You're just chewing it. Just an exercise for the jaws, that's all. And then after some time, it's still boring. Then we make bubble out of it. And then still boring. Then we make a bigger bubble. Then still boring. Then we make a big bubble. And finally, it bursts and gets stuck on the face. And then we have to remove it like this, you know. Actually, this is what material relationships are. They are so complicated. They are so painful. This rasa is so unpalatable that it sticks into our consciousness. We just can't take it out. It's so painful. But Krishna is defined as, what is Krishna's definition? Akila Rasamrita Murti. Krishna is the embodiment of all rasa. So if we pray to Krishna, if we try to develop attachment to Krishna, then we'll be completely satiated. Therefore, you'll see in material world, every day there is a new movie, new song. People don't sing the same song every day. Even if they sing old songs, it has to be remixing. They can't watch the same movie, your favorite movie. How many times can you watch? Every day you can't watch 108 times or 16 times. But we are chanting same Hare Krishna. Devotees are hearing same stories of Krishna. In Janmashtami is coming up now. What we are going to hear on Janmashtami day? Our devotees will go in Prabhu, Radha Gopinath Prabhu. They will all speak katha. You think we have not heard this katha before? Devotees will hear it with great attention, joy. So it's not that the devotee speaker is going to say, Abhi, so many years, you know, we have been speaking Krishna, killing Kamsa, and it's getting a little bored, same story. So we are going to change the script. We are going to make Kamsa defeat Krishna this year, just for change. Are we going to say that? No, it is same story. Everybody knows. But why we are enjoying it? Why devotees enjoy more and more every year? Why they chant the same Hare Krishna Mahamantra for the last 40 years? Because Krishna is Akila Rasamrita Murti. He is personification of all rasa. So when we get connected to Krishna, the taste keeps increasing over a period of time, unlike the rasa of this world, which keeps decreasing over a period of time. Therefore, it is important that we get connected to Krishna through a prayerful living, through chanting of holy names, and through intimate loving service to Krishna and Krishna's devotees. And the highest example of devotees who enjoyed this loving rasa with Krishna is the residents of Vrindavan, where their love defeated the knowledge of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says, Brijavasis were not businessmen. In one lecture I was hearing, Prabhupada says, so when Krishna came back from the forest, the gopis were not going and putting their hands in his pockets to see what he has bought for us from the forest. They were not looking for money, or they were just wanting to please Krishna's senses. And Krishna's best advisor and minister was Uddhav. Uddhav is student of Brihaspati, the most knowledgeable person in this material world. And Uddhav was the closest friend of Krishna. In fact, Krishna used to take advice of Uddhav because Uddhav was the most intelligent man. And Uddhav went to Vrindavan with message of Krishna because Krishna wanted to show Uddhav that there is something greater than knowledge. So Uddhav comes to Vrindavan thinking that he is the most knowledgeable person, and he's talking to Nanda Maharaj, and he's seeing the love of Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, and all the gopis and gopas for Krishna. He gets shocked. So he tells Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Maharaj, do you realize how fortunate you are? Your son Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. And Nanda Maharaj says, I thought, Uddhav, you are intelligent, but you are a fool. How can my son be supreme personality of Godhead? I heard that God means aptakam, completely satisfied. But Krishna always wants butter from us. And I heard that Krishna is Narayan, God is Narayan, he's shelter of all living entities. But Krishna has taken our shelter. So Uddhav is trying to use all logic, all shastra to convince them that their son is God. And Nanda Maharaj doesn't get convinced. Nanda Maharaj says, Krishna is not God. And then he says, okay, you are saying we are most fortunate because Krishna is our son is God. But we are most unfortunate because Krishna is not living here. What is the use if he is God, if he is not living here? So Nanda Maharaj gets completely, Uddhav gets completely bewildered. Uddhav tries his best. But Brijabasis refuse to believe that Krishna is God. Look at the love they have. Such intense love that they cannot be convinced that Krishna is God. Even this is a similarity between atheist and pure devotee. One similarity. Atheist says Krishna is not God. Pure devotee also says Krishna is not God. But the similarity ends there. Pure devotee says out of pure love. Atheist says out of envy. Then Uddhav, he's desperately trying to convince, and then finally he gets one realization. Very beautiful realization. He says, oh, now I understand that what these devotees are experiencing, I can never experience because I have too much knowledge about Krishna. So he gets a realization that just like pole star, if you want to see pole star, can you see in the afternoon? The sun has to go away. There has to be complete darkness. Then you can see pole star. So he says, similarly, with the sun of knowledge, all ignorance is destroyed. But if you want to experience the love of Brijavasis, which is like pole star, then the knowledge has to go away. So this is the love of Brijavasis. In fact, when Krishna killed one demon, Sridhama said, are you the same, my friend Krishna? No, it can't be. How can you kill a demon? My friend Krishna loses to me in wrestling. So if I let me test you, for they had a wrestling match. And Sridhama defeated Krishna. So it's not that Krishna, sometimes people say God loses to his devotee just like a father while wrestling with his children. He loses for the pleasure of his children. No, Krishna did not lose like that. Krishna actually put all his strength while wrestling with Sridhama, but still he got lost because Sridhama's love was so thick that Krishna was conquered by that love. Because Krishna himself gets covered by knowledge in front of the love of his devotees. That's why Krishna forgets his godhood when he's dealing with these pure devotees. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives the example of a bumblebee. A bumblebee enters the lotus flower and it is so busy tasting nectar, the lotus petals close in the evening, but the bumblebee doesn't care. The bumblebee prefers the lotus petals to close so that he can continue to take nectar. Similarly, he says, Krishna enters the heart of his devotee and gets so much nectar there that he doesn't mind being covered, the knowledge being covered about his godhood. So this is Krishna's most unique and most wonderful position, that he becomes the servant. He is conquered by love of his devotees. Hittam satam brahma sukhanubhutya dasyam gatanam paradevatena maya shritanam naradarakena sakham vijaru krita punya punja. Sridhar Goswami says, this Krishna whom people are speculating, oh, he may be Brahman. Hittam satam brahma sukhanubhutya. Some people are thinking, oh, he is an ordinary demigod like other demigods. Some people are thinking maya shritanam naradarakena. Some people are thinking he is an ordinary human being. But what is Krishna doing? Sakam vijaru kritapunya punja. He is just enjoying with his friends and playing in the pasturing grounds of Vrindavan. He is conquered by, completely by love. So these are the four topics we have discussed so far. That first we have discussed how love for God is greater than simply desiring peace and happiness. That is the first topic. Then we discussed that we should know who is God and we should know why we are suffering and how we can experience this love. That is by connecting to God. And the third topic we discussed was who is this God? That is Krishna. And why he is God? Because there are six opulences. And then we discussed, okay, we have all this knowledge, but what we need to have more than all this knowledge? We need to have love for Krishna. But when we hear this, people say, oh, great, let us love Krishna. In India, this is very famous. These two philosophies are very famous in India. Impersonalism and Sahajiya. You know what are these philosophies? What is impersonalism? They have so much knowledge about God. They have complete knowledge, lot of knowledge. And their conclusion is, I am Krishna. I am God. And there is another group, Sahajiya. They say, oh, we are not God, Krishna is God, but we love God and we are lovers of God, and in that name of that love, what they do? They don't follow any rules and regulations. India is 99%, whoever claims to be spiritual, they are either impersonalists or Sahajiya. Sahaja means, Sahaj means cheap. So they take a love for Krishna very cheaply. Oh, I also love Krishna. Krishna comes in my dream. You know, basically, they don't follow scriptures. They don't have any understanding about relationship with God. Sentimentally, they say, I love Krishna. And it's very dangerous. Srila Prabhupada said, when the sages, what they do? They cry. When you speak about Krishna, what they will do in front of you? They will start loudly crying. And they'll get all the attention. And they'll cry. Prabhupada said, the tears of the sages, they wash away the conclusion of the scriptures. It's bogus tears. So we should not be impressed by somebody who says, oh, Krishna, I love Krishna. You know, Gaurang Prabhu says, when he gives Bhagavad Saptas outside, sometimes people ask him, are you Bhagavad Saptas karte hai, you do Bhagavad Saptas. Do people cry in your lectures? People, you know, ask him like that. Because they think, if a person can make people cry, then the speaker is great, and the topic is great. There is a very cheap understanding. This pious entertainment, you know. You want to feel that I love Krishna. So Gauram Prabhu would be asked, aapke lecture mein kitne log roye? So he say, roye nahi, par soye bahut log. He would say, bahut log sote hai hamare class. Srila Prabhupada was once in Chennai, and this host, who was hosting Prabhupada, he had dressed Radha Krishna in black color, complete black dress, and Radharani was also covered with black, you know, like the Muslims have burqa, like that, full covered. So Prabhupada said, what is this? How have you dressed Radha Krishna in black, complete black? So this man said, my Radha Krishna are so nice, they are so effulgent that I can't stand to see their effulgence. You know, it's burning my eyes. They are so attractive. So I've covered them with black color. So Prabhupada was disgusted with this kind of sentimental, explanation about God. So people are in India, they are either Mayavadis, most of them, or they are Sahaja. Beware. One of the biggest dangers. And the remedy is, we are so blessed. Srila Prabhupada has most expertly balanced by giving us the book Bhagavatam and the person Bhagavat, Srila Prabhupada himself and his pure representatives. If you see Prabhupada, how wonderfully balanced. He would tell us about Krishna, Krishna's sweetness, Krishna's love, Krishna and his friends. At the same time, to avoid, to prevent us from becoming cheap sahajiyas, he would smash us in his lectures and his writings. If you read Prabhupada's books, sometimes you will get shaken. Prabhupada would call materialistic people as sense gratifiers, asses, pigs, dogs, stool eaters. But just when you feel hopeless, then Prabhupada would also talk about Krishna. So Bhagavatam is both hope-giving and hope-smashing. It smashes our hopes in this material world and gives us hope only in Krishna. Therefore, we should understand that Srila Prabhupada is so mature, so amazingly has given us a balanced path by which we can get completely attached to Krishna and at the same time not become sentimental and sahajiya. The sahajiyas, they say, I love Krishna. At the same time, they have so much lust and they have so much bad qualities, but they pretend to be very more advanced than what they are. But Prabhupada would make us put our foot on ground, our head on our shoulders. Prabhupada is very instructive. And Bhagavatam smashes materialistic life. But the same Bhagavatam gives descriptions of Krishna. Bhagavatam is the best book. If you want to develop love for Krishna without becoming Mayavadi and without becoming Sahaja, if you don't want to go to extreme, we have to study Srimad Bhagavatam under the guidance of a proper authority. Then we'll develop Krishna's love for Krishna. Nigama kalpa taror galitam phalam shukamukad amrita dravya sanyutam. Dravya means easily swallowable, full of rasa. Pibata Bhagavata rasamalayam. Muhur aho rasika bhuvi bhavuka rasika. Rasika means those who are relishing mellows of devotional service. They will be attracted by Srimad Bhagavatam. But the same Srimad Bhagavatam also condemns materialistic life. So a person becomes sober, he becomes little mature when he studies Krishna conscious philosophy because he will not become either Mayavadi or Sahaji. When Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles, they started the Gopi Bhav Club. Some devotees, they would pretend to be like gopis and they would try to love Krishna like the gopis. Prabhupada said, this is nonsense. You read about Pandavas, you read about other devotees, don't artificially try to be what you are not. Prabhupada said, gopis had deep love for Krishna, don't make it cheap. So Srila Prabhupada's famous statement, Srila Prabhupada always said that religion without philosophy is sentiment or fanaticism, while philosophy without religion is speculation. Once in New Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada was giving lecture in June 1976. And that whole lecture, actually it was not a lecture, it was a debate. Srila Prabhupada was acting as, the devotees were acting as atheistic scientists and they were having a debate. So in that whole debate, Prabhupada was calling these scientists, the atheistic scientists, you rascal, you fool. They were having debate like that. Rascal, fool, rascal, fool. So the devotee was acting as scientist. He wanted to change the argument. He said, but why are you calling us rascal? And immediately Prabhupada stopped. Because Prabhupada would be always heavy. You have seen his lectures, his writings. Prabhupada said, I am calling you rascal because I love you. And I can't see you suffering in this material world. Therefore, I am telling you, my dear friend, please develop love for Krishna and go back to the spiritual world. Understand, you rascal? Again, Prabhupada said. So Srila Prabhupada was heavy. At the same time, he encouraged us to love Krishna. In fact, in one of those days in New Vrindavan, after the evening program, Prabhupada went to his room and Harishwari Prabhu put the mosquito net. And as Prabhupada was entering the room, he saw this beautiful painting of Krishna coming back. The one we showed sometime back, Krishna coming from Vrindavan. Just Prabhupada stopped after looking at that painting. For 5 minutes, he was just standing and giving a big smile and just admiring that painting. And Harishwari Prabhu could realize that Prabhupada has entered into a different realm. Just 5 minutes back, he was condemning sense gratification, and you know, he knew people will become easily sahajiya. So he would smash. At the same time, he had a lot of love for Krishna. And then Prabhupada went inside the mosquito net, he slept, and while sleeping, he began to glorify Krishna's sweetness. Because Prabhupada always balanced. In fact, when he would get ecstatic symptoms, he would control his tears. He would sometimes, you know, these Bhagavad Saptakars outside, professional people, they speak and they start crying in the class. So people think, oh, he's so advanced, he's crying. Prabhupada would get genuine tears, he would control it. He would not show. Because why? What will happen if he cries one day in class? What will happen? And tomorrow, all the chelas and chapatas, they will all start. What will all the followers of Prabhupada do? Hare, our Prabhupada is crying in class, we should also cry. Artificially, we will try to do that. So Srila Prabhupada was heavy. So these both are dangerous philosophies, Mayavad and Sahajya. And Prabhupada has expertly given us Bhagavatam and devotional service by which we can know that material life is miserable, but we won't become Mayavadis. Because we have bought Krishna also. And just if we become Sahajiyas because of too much Krishna, we are also told what is our position. That we are in the material world suffering from the anarthas. Sometimes somebody asks me, of the two, who is better, Mayavadi or Sahajiya? Dono bure, but koi to achha hoga usme. Who do you think is better? If at all there is a choice, Mayavadi or Sahajiya association, who is better? Mayavadi. Why? Sahajiya. Because at least he accepts Krishna. Somebody said Sahajiya is better, at least he accepts Krishna. So maybe, yeah. It is like saying, you know, Sahajiya is better than Mayavadi is like saying in an exam, out of 100, if 100 marks ka exam hai, spiritual life, so Mayavadi gets 0 out of 100 and Sahajiya gets 1 out of 100. So Sahajiya is better than Mayavadi. But what is the result? Both of them fail. So we should be careful. We should not associate with both of them. You know? Dangerous. Both are dangerous. And also we should be careful of not artificially jumping into this most confidential and revered subject of Gopi's love for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada would never speak on Raslila prematurely to premature audiences. He would never speak. In fact, once in one host program, the host said, Swamiji, please speak about Raslila. Prabhupada said, no, you can't discuss it in such assembly like that. One has to be qualified to hear Raslila. We should not discuss. Prabhupada became very sober. But this host was persisting. He said, no, Swamiji, please tell us about Raslila. Please tell. Prabhupada again repeated, no, we should not discuss like that. It's very, very serious, very mature subject. They repeatedly asked and finally Prabhupada said, yes, you are qualified to hear, but I am not qualified to speak, so I will not speak. Prabhupada was more qualified than anyone else. But Prabhupada didn't want people to become sahajiya. We can't jump into these confidential matters just like that. One has to be careful. You can't just make, if you're making, you know, some people say, when they come to Hare Krishna, First, we want to know about Krishna's Raslila, Krishna's loving affairs with gopis. No, first you know that you are not the body. First you know that you are the soul and you are suffering because of anarthas. Shyamananda Prabhu gives the example that if you make friends with one man, the first question you will not ask him about his wife. You will say, oh, very nice. How is your wife? How do you enjoy with her? You don't ask like that. You don't even know him. Similarly, you can't say, we don't even know Krishna and we want to know about Krishna's love affairs. That's very dangerous for our spiritual life. So we have to follow the footsteps. We have to follow the footsteps of the gopis. Aradhya Bhagavan, Brajesha Tanaya, Taddhama Vrindavanam. How do we follow? Not by externally acting like gopis, but by understanding their mood of selfless love. They had selfless love for Krishna. So we should aspire to become selfless. Not artificially talk about Krishna's love affairs with the gopis while having a lot of anarthas in our own heart. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur's Guru Maharaj would condemn Sahajiya. He would say, these people glorify Krishna's Raslila, but they themselves are having so much lust. It is like a person passing stool and simultaneously, while passing stool, eating Rasgulla. What will you call such a person? Most obnoxious. So he said, this is the condition of the Sahajiyas. They have such stool-like substances in their heart and they are also trying to taste the sweetest. So it's very, very dangerous. We should avoid discussing these subjects prematurely. Therefore, we should take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, especially Sukadeva Goswami's words from the Bhagavatam, who got attracted to Krishna because of Krishna's kindness, Krishna's compassion. Actually, Sukadeva Goswami was an impersonalist first. But what happened? He heard the description of Krishna's beautiful bodily features. Baraha pidam natavara vapu karnayo karnikaran bibrada vasa kanaka kapisam vaijayanti chamalam randran venu radhara sudaya parayan gopa vrinder vrindaranyam sapadaramanam pravishad gita kirti. He heard how Krishna, while entering Vrindavan, has a beautiful peacock feather on his head, how he has malti flowers on his ears, and how he is playing the flute, and he is transmitting the love of his heart into the flute. So all these things Sukadeva Goswami heard, and from being an impersonalist, he became a devotee of Krishna. But at the same time, more than this, there was another aspect of Krishna which attracted him, and that was Krishna's kindness. He heard, the next verse he heard was, Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam jigam samapayadapya sadhavi lebe gatim datri huchitam tatonyam kamva dayalum sharanam rajema. He heard that Bakasur's sister Baki Putana has come to kill Krishna after smearing poison in her breast, and Krishna sucked her life force while taking milk and gave her the position of nurse in the spiritual world. Datri. So then, Vasudeva writes, Kamva dayalum sharanam vrajema. Who is more merciful than Krishna? Who gives the position of nurse to someone who comes to kill him? So when Sukadeva Goswami hears this, he becomes convinced and he becomes completely attracted to Krishna. Then he realizes that more than Krishna's attraction, Krishna's kindness, at our level, we may not be attracted to Krishna's beauty so much, because we are right now presently enamored by the beauty of material world. So we have to meditate on Krishna's, more than Krishna's Raslila, we have to meditate on Krishna's kindness, his compassion, that he can give position of nurse to a killer. How much more he will give if somebody approaches him with love? This is Krishna's kindness. So we are right now suffering in this material world. We are burning from the threefold miseries. We can't appreciate beauty of Krishna so much, but we can appreciate kindness. So we have to meditate on Krishna's kindness. Just like if somebody is cooking in the kitchen and gets burnt, his hand, hot dal falls on his hand. He's screaming. So at that time some beautiful lady comes. Will he be attracted? He'll be screaming. But if that lady comes with Bernal, okay, Bernal, you know, some relief. If somebody is, we are all burning in this material world, we are suffering. So at such times, Krishna's beauty is not so appealing to us. But the knowledge that Krishna is so kind, He will relieve us of all suffering of this material world. That is very soothing. That gives us hope. So you have to meditate on this aspect of Krishna. Therefore, this is a very, very hope-giving. And Shukadeva Goswami is the one who has taught us this principle. So we should follow Shukadeva Goswami's footsteps. So we have discussed today the five topics so far. What are the five topics? We have discussed first how love is greater than so-called peace and happiness. Then we also discussed how we have to know that we are suffering because we are not connected to God in love. And then we discussed who is God, with whom we have to have a relationship, and that is Krishna because of six opulences. Then we discussed how we need to have love for Krishna, which is higher than all knowledge. And we discussed the dangers of Mayavad and Sahajiya. Now comes practical steps which we can take, by which we can also develop this love for Krishna. Everybody, after hearing all this, we want to know, theek hai, now what should I do to develop this love? So we are going to discuss some practical steps. The first point is, most important point, we don't have any formula for getting love of Krishna. It's not that, you know, I'm going to do this, and then I get love of Krishna. I'm going to capture Krishna. No. We cannot get love of Krishna unless Krishna decides to reveal it. Just like sun rises on its own accord. We cannot order, let the sun rise. The sun is independent. Similarly, love of Krishna will arise in the heart of a devotee when Krishna decides. We should begin with this. This is the basic assumption. Basic foundation, not assumption. This is the truth. Like one man was asked how he became a billionaire. He was a pauper in the street, beggar, and he became a billionaire in the stock market. So he asked the secret. So he told the secret. He said, I was having one apple. I sold that apple for 1 rupee and I made 1 rupee profit. Then I sold, I got 2 apples and I sold them for 4 rupees and I made 2 rupees profit. Then third day I sold 4 apples and made 8 rupees profit. And then one day my uncle, who was a billionaire, died and he left all the money in my name, and because of that inheritance I became a billionaire. What is the connection? This is our story. You have to chant Hare Krishna every day, 16 rounds, trying to not sleep, wake up, hear, do all our activities. But love of Krishna, is that a formula for getting love of Krishna? No, love of Krishna is Krishna giving the inheritance. If Krishna decides to give, then we will get. So this is the first most important point we should know. Love of Krishna is not some formula that, you know, we can practice and we'll get. But from our side, we can do some things to show Krishna that we are sincere and we want to revive our love for Krishna. And we can show our sincerity to Krishna by hearing and chanting Krishna's holy names. This is the foundation of Krishna consciousness movement. Coming every day to temple if you can and chanting and hearing Krishna Katha, or at home every day hearing and chanting. Because only when we connect to Krishna, we can be really, really happy. Srila Vyasadev, who have composed all the Vedic literatures, he was not happy. Then Narad Muni's guru came and told him, you are not happy because you have not directly glorified Krishna. Bhavata anudita prayam yasho bhagavato malam ene vasona tushyeta manyeta darshanam khilam. All that you have written so far is khilam. It is waste because you have not glorified Krishna. Therefore, we have to constantly hear. As we hear constantly about Krishna's beauty, Krishna's pastimes, our dormant love starts awakening in the heart. Srimad Bhagavatam describes, Shyamam Hiranyaparidim Vanamalya Barha Dhatu Pravalanatave Shamanu Vratamse Vinyasta Hastamitarena Dhunanam Abjam Karnot Palalaka Kapola Mukhabjahasam. Shyamam, Krishna is dark monsoon cloud complexion and he has worn yellowish, dazzling, lightning color garments. Shyamam Hiranya Paridim Vanamalya Barha. He has a beautiful peacock feather and a vanmala. And Dhatu Pravala, he is decorated with the minerals of Vrindavan. He is not decorated with some precious jewels in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan he has jewels, but his beauty is more attractive because of these natural minerals, Dhatu. And Natavesham Anuvratamsi is dressed like an actor. And what is he doing? Vinyasta Hasta Itarena Dunanam Abjam. His one hand is on the shoulder of his friend. Dunanam Abjam with the other hand is twirling a lotus flower. Karunot Palalaka Kapola Mukhabjahasam. He has a beautiful Malati flower on his ears. And it's a beautiful smile on his face. So when we hear all these verses, when we keep hearing this in classes and we read them, our attraction for Krishna slowly starts getting revived. Therefore, hearing and chanting is the basis. And we have to especially hear in the association of sincere devotees and especially with a proper attitude. Now, these are two very famous personalities. All of you know them. Now, there was one incident which personally very much inspired me was some years ago when I was assisting Aribolanand Prabhu in guest reception service. And Dhananivas Prabhu had come to our temple and he was very sick. And that time we didn't have Bhaktivedanta Hospital. So he was admitted in this nursing home at Tardev. Shetty nursing home or something. So I was in guest reception assisting Aribolanand Prabhu. And then Maharaj, Radhana Swami Maharaj asked. And that was Nityananda Trayodashi day. So Radhana Swami Maharaj gave a powerful class for 2 hours on Lord Nityananda. And in the evening he asked me, how is Jananivas Prabhu? I said, he had malaria. I said, he's still weak, still in the nursing home. So Maharaj said, tomorrow morning we'll go and visit him. Next day morning, Maharaj went to the room. He and Jananivas Prabhu, only two of them. And then Maharaj sat on the bed. And Jananivas Prabhu was lying on the bed, very weak. Jananivas Prabhu said, what did you speak yesterday, Nityananda Trayodashi? So Maharaj said, so you want to hear? He said, yes. And then Maharaj sat on the bed and he began. I was shocked. He was the only one in the audience there. And the previous day in the evening, he sat here. And there were 2,000 people and he was speaking the same way he spoke on the bed. You know, he began like this, Om Ajnana Timirandasya. And I was a little bewildered. And then he spoke the whole Jagai Madai pastime as if there are thousands of people in the class. And you know, full 2 hours he spoke. And Jananivas Prabhu was lying on the bed and was crying profusely, you know, ecstatic tears. And this was an amazing sight. Now, here are two people who must have heard this pastime and spoken this pastime hundreds of times. And here they are relishing it. And they are speaking and hearing it with so much relish. This is the way advanced devotees, because they have this very proper and wonderful attitude, they are able to relish and they actually love Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hear Dhruva Maharaj pastime hundreds of times. Why he was hearing hundreds of times? Because you are relishing it. We also have to hear hundreds of times. Not because we are relishing it, but because we have to remind ourselves that Krishna is God. So to remind ourselves, we have to keep hearing. I have seen Jananivas Prabhu sometimes in Mayapur. Even in the initial days, devotees would tell that he would hear anybody is giving class. Bangla classes also, Bengali classes also, he would be sitting and hearing. Because the sound vibration, the transcendental sound vibration is pure. So therefore, one has to have this attitude of hearing submissively. Then that love develops. And also, one has to chant the holy names of Krishna. And holy name will reveal all the greatness and sweetness of Krishna. Now, our problem is many times we have seen that Hare Krishna is very easily available. Anybody is charging fees for Hare Krishna? Because it comes free, we don't value it. We are not realizing that by chanting Hare Krishna, we can revive our dormant love for Krishna. We don't realize the potency because we have been given it free of cost. If you charge fees, then even if people don't like chanting, they will chant. Because they have paid money for it. Before coming to ISKCON, I used to go to an organization, so-called spiritual organization. I paid 5,000 rupees for a 3-day course. And I was not at all impressed. But when I went back to my colony, my friends asked me, how was the course? And I knew, if I said it was bogus, they will all laugh at me. 5,000 rupees waste kiya. So you know what I told them? Excellent. Aap bhi karo. And then when they attended, I felt satisfied. Unka bhi 5,000 rupees gaya. Very good. You know? So when you charge money, people start feeling that it's my value. Although it may be bogus. Because Hare Krishna is just free. Anybody can chant. So we think, Hare, Phukat mein mil raha matlab, it has no value. That is our disease. And that's how most of these organizations cheat us. They make us feel that Hare Krishna is so simple, whereas our method is higher. They are actually cheating us. Hare Krishna is the way we can get love for Krishna. You know, like one man went to a doctor and said, psychiatrist, and he said, Doctor ji, I'm not smart. I want to become smart. Can you help me? Psychiatrist said, I have some special potato. One potato costs 100 rupees. Every day you eat 10 potatoes. So then you will become smart. So he ate for 1 month. And he came back and he said, Doctor, I have not yet become smart. Doctor said, you need more potatoes. So he said, I'll give you some more special potatoes. This one potato costs 1,000 rupees. Eat this potato for 1 month. So after 1 month he came. He said, Doctor, still I have not become smart. I'm still dumb. And now I'm suspecting you what kind of potatoes you are giving. I'm suspecting that you are cheating me. Doctor said, see, I told you are becoming smart now. See? So this is the situation in this world, you know. I want peace. I want happiness. So they'll give some meditation technique. And then you'll practice. So there is so much word jugglery. There is so much, you know, like they'll say, oh, God is love. Love is peace. Peace is beauty. And then they'll keep quiet. And then they'll raise their eyebrow. They'll smile. And then they'll say, love is peace. And then everybody, till everybody starts clapping, the speaker will keep speaking some, you know, vague terms. Like one very famous Indian spiritual leader, he was called for a meeting. Half an hour he didn't speak anything. Everybody is looking at him. And he's just smiling. And then one sentence he said, how wonderful is the sound of silence. And then he went away. And everybody, wah, wah. It's all word jugglery. And, you know, they're fooling the people with mediocre stuff. And here we have the most powerful Hare Krishna and we are not valuing it. Because we get it free and we are told bluntly that we are suffering because we are having material desires. We are told bluntly what is truth. We don't like it. Like I had one doctor friend. He was very straightforward. So he would say that when patients would come to him, he would tell them on the face, you are all right. Your problem is not some disease. You are just lazy. You have to do some exercise. You will be all right. And avoid certain food. You will be all right. For these men would not, these people would not feel happy. For they would go to the other doctor, neighboring doctor. And that doctor would say, yes, yes, you have to take so many medicines. They would give a big bill. And these people would feel, very nice. This doctor is very nice. You know, he's charging so much fees. That is our condition. When somebody charges money or tells us in some, you know, a very hi-fi words, then we get impressed. Actually, Krishna consciousness is very simple. It's so simple that we may miss it. We just have to chant Hare Krishna with a proper attitude, with sincere love, and then we can develop love for Krishna. And in Kali Yuga, this love has been given to us by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he has told us, just be simple. When we have a simple service attitude, our heart becomes soft. Right now our hearts are hard. We just have a simple, simplicity is the ornament that pleases Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to see all devotees. Lord Chaitanya is non-different from Krishna, who appeared 500 years ago. And he said, if you are simply simple, then we'll get love for Krishna. When we have a simple attitude, we are not duplicitous, our heart becomes soft, soft, soft like butter. And Krishna is known as butter thief. He comes and then steals that heart, which is free of duplicity. So we have to attract Krishna through our simplicity. When Lord Chaitanya performed his pastime, there was one simple lady, Dukhi. She was just carrying water for Shiva's Thakur. She was a servant maid. And Lord Chaitanya asked, what's her name? And when Lord Chaitanya came to know she is Dukhi, Lord Chaitanya said, she should be Sukhi. Lord Chaitanya bestowed mercy on this lady who was completely insignificant from external standards. But just because she had a simple attitude. Lord Chaitanya showered infinite mercy on Sridhar Kolavich, who was a simple banana leaf seller. He was not a great scholar of Vedas. He was not having a lot of followers. But Lord Chaitanya, we can please only by simple, loving service. And this is the secret of developing our love for Krishna, developing our love for Guru. Once one brahmachari went to Radhana Swami Maharaj and asked him, I don't think anybody should imitate this, but he went and told, Maharaj, I don't have love for you. I want to develop love for you. How can I develop love for you? And I was like, and Maharaj is so amazing. You know, he doesn't get shaken by anything. He was just cool. You know, generally, if somebody tells you like that, how will you feel? You know, I want to develop love for you. So when he asked Maharaj like that, Maharaj said, if you simply hear and have a nice service attitude, you will develop love. Such a satisfying answer. He must have paraphrased the mood of many others. I don't know. But Maharaj gave this very simple answer. Just have service attitude and hear properly. We can develop love for Krishna. So this is the discussions we had today. Now we are concluding our class. Just 1 minute, we'll conclude. So these are the six topics we discussed. To summarize these six topics, first in the introduction we discussed that if we simply aspire for love of God, peace and happiness is an insignificant byproduct. Then second topic we discussed today was how knowledge is important. And material solutions create a bigger problem than the original problem. And we can be really happy only when we are reinstated in our constitutional position as a servant of Krishna. And we gave examples of salt, chili, and the fish out of water. The third topic we discussed today was how we should know Krishna. Krishna is God because he is full of all six opulences. Wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. And then we discussed how we need to have love and approaching God with different motivations. What are the different motivations? Fear, reward, duty, and love. And love is the highest motivation. And rasa, or the mellow of devotional service, makes it even more attractive and than all other spiritual paths. And then we discuss the last two topics about the dangers and pitfalls. The most dangerous is sahajya and impersonalism, where we take Krishna cheaply. And therefore we concluded that one should practice devotional service under a proper authority on the basis of scriptures. And the basic action, the steps that we have to take is we have to know that only when the Lord bestows his causeless mercy, we can get love for Krishna. But from our side, we have to have hearing and chanting of the Lord's name with a sincere service attitude. And by that, we can attract Lord Chaitanya's mercy and we can get love for Krishna. To conclude, as Srila Prabhupada's very beautiful quotations on the importance of the subject matter, Prabhupada said, our proposition is whether you are a Christian, Muslim or a Hindu, simply try to understand God and love him. Srila Prabhupada also said, what is real spirituality and what is real religion? Prabhupada said, any religion you may profess, it doesn't matter. I simply want to see whether you have got the result of religion. The result of religion is you will love God. That is the result of religion. That is spirituality. So we invite you to our ISKCON programs. We invite you to take part in the Hare Krishna programs. Make hearing and chanting as the foundation of your life. And you will have no regrets. You will be attracted to Krishna. Our dormant love for Krishna will be reawakened. And therefore, what does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? How do we please him? It's very easy to please Krishna. What does he say in the 9th chapter of Gita? Patram pushpam. We have to simply offer flower, fruit, water, leaf. Why doesn't Krishna ask for gold? Why doesn't Krishna say, give me gold? Because once you can give gold once and then forget it. But Krishna says, give me flower. Because flower every day you have to change fresh. So you have to give fresh flower. So you have to every day approach Krishna. So Krishna is asking for simple things by which we can approach Krishna on a day-to-day basis. We can have a loving relationship with Krishna. So we invite you for our Krishna Conscious programs and the Janmashtami festival. So we'll continue this series of lectures. Next Sunday we have another interesting topic. So we invite you all for the Sunday Feast program. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.